She inspires, educates, and informs. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and you are listening to Mrs. Green's World, an inspirational and informative place where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks to the sponsor of this show, the Chapman Automotive Group. Chapman has literally been doing their share, showing they care about our community for a very long time and since they arrived in Arizona. They have an active, engaged community green team that supports numerous nonprofits in the community, including Habitat for Humanity, Goodwill Industries, the Children's Clinics, and the Community Food Bank. Perhaps one of their biggest accomplishments is helping to plant over 1,500 trees in the community as part of their commitment to doing the good thing. Thank you, Chapman, for being such a good steward of the community and the planet. More information about them is available at chapmantucson.com. And I am thrilled to have them as one of our major partners. So for those of you who have been a part of Mrs. Green's World for quite some time, do you ever remember my saying that I'm not excited about a show or that we're going to be giving you the opportunity to think about whatever the guest is going to share? I think not. But this show is about something that is very near and dear to my heart every day. And the reason is because of what our guest is going to share with us that I can get behind, something that I believe in and support, something that makes me feel good about my commitment to a sustainable and socially just planet. On top of that, I personally know our guest and have the utmost respect for her, for who she is, for what she continues to accomplish with her team, and for the difference she and her team has made for Arizona and is now making for communities all over our country. So without further ado, let's get started about talking about loving your local community with our guest, the Queen of Local. And I mean that. She wears a crown and a total unstoppable force, Kimber Lanning. Kimber is the founder and director of Local First Arizona. Welcome, Kimber. Can you tell I'm excited about spending the next hour with you?
Oh, well, thank you so much. You're very, very kind, and I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
So always the best place to start is I want to sing the song, Let's Start at the Very Beginning. So let's go back a bit to when you got the fire in your belly about why supporting locally owned businesses was important. What was going on with you that launched you into this trajectory on a journey to make things better for our community, our state, and for the planet? You've never stopped since it started.
That's right. Yeah, and there were really a few different things. Many people may not realize that I'm a small business owner myself. So for 30 years, I've had a music store, and in that business, I saw a lot of corruption, a lot of favoritism toward the big guys. So the big labels would do sweetheart deals with the big box stores, and so they'd, you know, sell it to the big boxes significantly less than what they would be willing to sell it to me for. They would get all the advertising dollars, and I would have nothing. And so I really got to see that bias, and I really wanted to advocate for a level playing field so that the locally owned businesses could just compete, because I knew I could beat them on knowledge, on customer service, on variety, having the coolest stuff. But I was not getting a fair shot at getting things at a fair market price. So there was that. And then secondarily, I was watching so many bright young people leave Arizona, and I really wanted to explore, you know, why do I feel connected here? Why do I feel like this is my home and I want to stay here and make it better, and other people just can't wait to get out of here? And so that path led me to realize that doing business locally and locally owned businesses generally, we're the ones that create the unique environment. We're the ones who make people feel connected to their place. You know, if I went to Chicago tomorrow and I asked people why they love Chicago, without even realizing it, they would say the locally owned businesses. They would say, you know, I had the same barber for 40 years. I bank at the same bank my grandparents banked at. I love all the chefs and restaurants. And they wouldn't even recognize that they were doing business locally and that that was translating into how they feel about their place. So, you know, here in Arizona, two-thirds of us came from somewhere else, and we have to work a little harder to introduce people to our authentic place, because so much of our communities are inundated with chain stores, which that's just any town USA. You can do that anywhere. You have to dig a little deeper to get to know a place. So those were the things that were on my mind.
And it might have been on many people's minds, but not any of them decided, I'm going to change this. There's something that happened in you that I want to like dig a little deeper, get down there in the Kimberlanding weeds. You started Local First Arizona, and, you know, baby, look at you now, I can say. But what was that call to action? Because that's what part of Mrs. Green's world is about, finding that in other people that listen to this show and they may have another issue. What, you know, inspired you to not just think about it, but to make things better?
Mm-hmm. So I really think that was the way that I was raised. We were not a family that just passed the responsibilities off to other people. You know, I can remember my parents being really engaged in the community, and even my oldest brother, he's 7.5 years older than me. When the Iran-Contra scandal was happening, and we were at war in Nicaragua, he didn't think it was right the way the United States was treating the people of Nicaragua, and you know, they were fighting for their own freedom, and many people don't realize that, you know, the American government was literally trying to capture control there. And so he volunteered and went on a coffee picking brigade in Nicaragua when I was 10 years old. So he went down there because he believed in it, and he wanted to help the people bring in their coffee harvest, which was a big percentage of their GNP. And he did it just as a volunteer, and lived in the jungles there, carrying 50-pound bags of coffee on his shoulders, eating nothing but rice and beans for months. And so when you grow up in a family that stands behind what they believe in and with action, I didn't really even think anything of it. I just saw this problem that we had here, and I wanted to fix it. And so that's what I did.
You know, it's really wonderful to hear so many of my guests these past 10 years when I ask them that question, to really honor their parents. And I do the same thing. My parents, they planted the seeds of leadership in my mind over and over and over. So thank you, Kimberlanding's parents, for doing that, because it's made a difference for so many thousands of people.
Yeah.
So when
yeah.
I first heard you speak, and we talked about a little bit about off air, and I was like, trick Kimber, it was over 10 years ago, I think, because it was right at the beginning of Mrs. Green's journey. And somebody said, oh, you should go to the university and hear this woman speak. And you had Michael Schumann with you, who is an economist, an attorney, a prolific author, an entrepreneur, and one of the world's leading experts on community economics, and someone I have absolutely grown to have the utmost respect for. And Kimber, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was at the UVA, University of Arizona Student Union, and I remember turning to my husband after you and Michael presented and said, this all makes so much sense at every level. Why isn't this room standing room only? Well, fast forward to now, there is only standing room only when you have events like this. What happened? What changed? Why is the room being filled and people signing up for all that Local First is initiating?
Mm-hmm. So I think there's two things that are happening. The first is that we just simply have more we're a larger organization now. We have a bigger reach, and so we're able to get the word out. We started in my living room 10 years ago. There was one local first person, and today that we have 25 staff in four statewide offices. So we've built a movement, and we will continue to build a movement. So I think that that's the first thing. But the second thing that's really happening is the world is waking up to the fact that the way we are doing things doesn't work, and that actually they're reclaiming, people are reclaiming the economy. We simply forgot how the economy works, and we forgot that we as consumers were in the driver's seat. And so what I mean by that is we spend our money, and we're conditioned through advertising to just think we're just, our goal is to get the cheapest price. And now we're realizing that just going for the cheapest price is costing us all a fortune, and that we need to rethink the way we're spending money in order to create more jobs and retain more wealth in our communities. So I think that, you know, it's been, 10 years ago, nobody really knew what we were talking about. And today, I think a lot of people are like, wow, I was really disconnected from how the economy works. And now that I'm tapped into it, it makes perfect sense, how it all works together. And remembering, smart money should come back to you. You know, you shouldn't just spend money and have it extracted from the community that you live in. You should spend it, and who you spend it with should in turn spend it with somebody else locally as well.
So people really are waking up on many levels, and I hope a lot more of them wake up sooner and faster and then do something about it. So what about one of the things there are many things I respect about Local First, obviously, when it comes to loving your local community. You and your team have not forgotten about rural communities, and they are often overlooked. And in fact, you have invested a great deal of time and effort in strengthening them. Can you highlight some of those efforts and how affirming it's been for you and for them?
Uh-huh. So I just want to start by talking about how excited I am about rural communities. Small town Arizona has really captured my heart, and I do think that they are criminally overlooked, particularly when you look at our food systems. Food systems don't exist. They're not successful unless we have people, and particularly the next generation, interested in living in rural and having a lifestyle that is rural. So, the fact that you look at the state's budget and it has so few dollars allocated for rural economic development is a problem. So when in 2013 we merged with and acquired the Arizona Rural Development Council, and in doing so we took on an oath, if you will, that we were going to continue to find innovative ways to drive new revenue and to support rural communities. And so we have developed a wide variety of programs. We, on the one hand, you know, we just did a tourism assessment for the town of Bisbee, and then we're organizing a weekend getaway in Globe, Miami, where you can have a semi-curated experience and join us to learn about all the things in the history and heritage in that region that make Globe, Miami unique. We have regular seminars. We host the Rural Policy Forum every year in a different part of the state, and that brings together about 300 rural leaders to talk about rural issues and solutions. This year is going to be in August in Wickenburg. And just a variety of innovative programs. One of my most favorites is called Science Happens Here. And that's a program that gets kids excited about the science that happens in the small businesses. So they collect trading cards, and the trading cards are available in the small business. So there's a card that has an experiment on it around yeast, and it's the science of yeast, and it's available at the bakery. And the science of caffeine is available at the coffee shop, and the science of lubricants is at the auto mechanic place. And so it gets kids out with their parents to explore what they have locally, but it's also getting them excited about STEM activities and helping them understand the relevance in their day-to-day lives. So we've developed really innovative programs, and we're constantly trying to implement them around the state, and I just think it's critically important work.
And it has to be highlighted that the approach is so systemic. When you're talking about STEM and educating our youth, you're not only helping to build a stronger local economy now, but you're investing in the future. And my line when I was in 35 years of social services, children are the only future we will ever have. So let's invest in them wisely. It's like money in the bank. So it's just, and so many other great things, but literally it makes sense on every level. And kudos.
It does. Yeah, it does. And, you know, and speaking of investing in our kids, these are the kinds of broken systems that we really point out. You know, the fact that our school systems are selecting the food that we feed our children, the next generation, based on low bid wins and how can we, you know, buy the most amount of food for the cheapest price. We just have to, we have to question our own sanity. So we are feeding our children less than nutritious foods because we're trying to save a few bucks, as if that's not going to cost us a fortune in the future.
Right, right, right. I mean, so it's like I said, very systemic, which is a perfect segue to your focus on food and the importance that food plays in growing sustainable, financially strong local communities. You're doing so much in the food sector. So other than the obvious that we all have eating in common, why is food and local sourcing of food, I would say, one of the pillars of your work? Very important. You're doing lots in terms of leadership in that arena.
Right. And we launched the Good Food Finder website because we wanted to be able to connect people to a healthier food system. So Good Food Finder AZ has everything from CSAs to farmers and producers, value-added products, to all of the school gardens that are in, so far we have Maricopa County, but we're expanding that. So it's a place where consumers can tap into healthier options locally, and it's also a B2B marketplace where chefs and those that are looking to source more locally can find locally produced foods of all kinds. And so this is an incredibly important journey that we've been on to strengthen the local food system in Arizona. And we work in this area for a few different reasons. One is to increase healthy food access. We just simply should not have food deserts in a state that is agriculturally rich as we are. And some people might be scratching their heads, not realizing how culturally rich, you know, agriculturally rich our state is, but it truly is. But secondly, you know, we have so many missed opportunities for employment and micro-enterprises to develop around food hubs, or looking more regionally about what foods are being produced and where enterprises could exist that would sustain families. I think in 2015, we exported $2.8 billion worth of food out of Arizona. At the same time, we imported $3.2 billion worth of food. So what we have right now is a whole lot of growing tomatoes so that we can ship them off, so that we can import somebody else's tomatoes. And so our goal at Local First is to streamline that and keep more of the dollars in food recirculating locally.
And it's been really successful. It never made sense to me that the people that farm the tomatoes in Wilcox, I mean, the carbon footprint of that, to me, as the champion of the planet, yeah, build them, grow them here, ship them to California at a huge carbon footprint expense, and then we buy them here. It's just, somebody
right.
Tell me the logic in that. I'm asking, please show me why that is an economic model that works for anybody.
Yeah, and not even shipping to California per se, but shipping to North Carolina or wherever it might be, right? And we even ship things off to get them packaged cheaply in Mexico and ship them back to ourselves once they're packaged. So there's all sorts of missed opportunities. And I think that one of the things that we work really hard at is to get people to really understand the true value of food. And when you look at, for example, the Farm Bill, and 80% of the Farm Bill dollars, massive dollars, went into, you know, the largest six food producing farms in the country. And those are commodity crops that go, you know, corn and soybean, that goes into making sure you can get a hamburger for 99 cents. which, you know, we're trying to help people understand how it's cost effective to buy healthier foods at a higher price today to save on your health in the long run, and employ people locally, and helping people recognize that if we link arms to create a healthy local economy, everyone benefits.
So everyone wins.
It's the all boats must rise concept.
Right. So believe it or not, we are coming up on the first break. And when we come back, I want to make sure that we adequately covered what Local First is, because you and I are so familiar with each other. And then talk about some of the other initiatives like banking, the shift they're creating there, and your work with local communities that are Hispanic. Everybody, stay here with me. Lots more exciting news to share. We'll be right back.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and Speak Up networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
And welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and you are indeed listening to Mrs. Green's World, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Thank you for joining us and for being a part of our community. For this hour, we are talking about loving your local community with the founder and director of Local First Arizona, Kimber Lanning. Local First's goal is simple. Local First Arizona's goal, let me say, is simple. Make Arizona a better place by supporting locally owned businesses and building vibrant communities that residents are proud to call home. Clearly, Kimber and her team have done such an outstanding job with proving time and time again why supporting locally owned businesses is consistent and meaningful and has a triple bottom line impact of people, profit, planet. And in doing that, Kimber and her Local First Arizona team have gotten the attention of local communities all over this country, as well they should. We're going to talk about that during the show. Kimber, once again, thanks for being with us, and thanks for all your hard work. So do you think
Absolutely.
We have adequately explained to our listeners the picture of Local First and what it is? Sometimes I do that. I'm so excited about getting into the heart of the matter that I forget the most obvious. What is Local First? And
sure.
Maybe we have covered that, but what would you like to add?
Well, I want for people to, I think, understand that our goal is to get people to spend their money with locally owned businesses as part of a strategy to build healthier, more diverse economies locally, where everyone has the opportunity to prosper. So we have a directory. We've built a coalition of local businesses. We're now the largest local business coalition in the country at localfirstaz.com. And, you know, we work on helping to strengthen those businesses, and we help consumers really start to think differently about how they're spending money. And we have what I call a multi-pronged approach to building a healthier local economy, and we're introducing new models of economic development that are really based on study after study after study that are showing just simply attracting big, huge companies into the community is not a sustainable or even cost-effective way to create jobs locally, and that instead, investing in business attraction and business retention, looking at our existing business climate and strengthening it is a much more cost-effective way to create jobs, and you actually create more jobs. So helping folks recognize their role in a healthy local economy is where we land. So reattaching people to their communities and their economies is the work that we do every day. We just do it through a number of different programs.
So perfect segue again. It's like you and I are we're channeling the perfect next topic to talk about is in the what I call the divest invest arena that is very, very much catching on nationally on college campuses with huge foundations. So it's about banking. And you're all about encouraging people to move their money out of the big banks, and which is just fraught with so much corruption, and the list goes on, and putting their money in community-owned banks and credit unions. And I would say this effort has experienced impressive success. So tell us about the movement and what's happened in Arizona so far.
Right. So most people, they just put their money in a bank and they don't think much of it. In fact, the number one qualifier is, do they have a convenient ATM where I can access my money? Which, I like to remind folks, if you're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Show and you care about sustainability, this can be one of the biggest cracks in your thought process about living sustainably. Because if your money is in one of the three biggest banks like Chase, Wells, or B of A, your money is going to be invested in unsustainable resources around the world. So you're going to be invested in coal, you're going to be invested in oil. And so keeping an eye on where your money is invested is critically important. And so if you move your money out of a big bank and into a credit union or a community bank that is tasked, they are chartered locally, which means that in order for them to stay in business locally, they have to lend back into the community locally. So you know more often than not where your money is going to be invested. It's going to be staying in your community. So there are so many different challenges with the big banks. Another one is that they don't lend in the local community to the small businesses. And they don't because their underwriters are far away in somebody else's state. So in the old days, when everybody was a community bank, you used to actually know the banker and he could come over and look at your business or make a decision about whether or not to loan you any money. Today, you might have a relationship with a mid-level banker who then has to send your portfolio or your overview of your business back east to an underwriter who is going to evaluate that with no relationship or no context whatsoever. So just to look at the profile of our state, at our worst, about 3 years ago, we had 96% of our total deposits in non-local banks with no local decision-making at all. And 76% of that money was just in Chase, Wells, or B of A. So we went back and did the research around the last economic downturn, and during the downturn, they pretty much closed up shop for almost two solid years. They only loaned in 2 years, between those three banks, they loaned $18 million back into our state, which is a pittance of the billions of dollars of our money that they have. So that means, that they invested our money somewhere far, far away from here. So today, because of our efforts in the Move Your Money campaign to get people thinking about where their money is sitting and who is it benefiting, we can now say that 3% more of the total dollars have been moved out of the big banks and into community banks. So a 3% shift in 3 years is pretty remarkable. That's a lot of money. So our goal is to strengthen the local banks and credit unions because they're the ones who are tasked with lending locally. In fact, if they don't lend locally, they don't make any money. So they're the ones who are going to send a bank president over to look at your project, to understand your business. So you have a relationship with them, and they're much more likely, in fact, three times more likely to lend to small businesses than any of those big banks. So this movement has been really powerful for Arizona, and we hope that we'll continue to grow so that our small businesses can get the much-needed capital they need.
And so many kudos to you and the leadership of your team for making that happen. And I think it will continue to roll because it makes sense on so many levels. And I keep thinking about very often some of our guests are like the tail wagging the dog. And someone sent me a link last week about the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink. And BlackRock manages more money than any other investment firm in the country. And his entire speech, for the beginning of the year was about what you're talking about. I mean, this guy is a big deal. And his annual letter to CEOs was, we have to start looking at more sustainable investing. We have to stop investing in fossil fuel industry, and on and on. So there's a leader that is very well respected, and you've been singing that song. So to me, you're getting the attention through these kinds of efforts of some really big dogs that can help bring about bigger shifts.
Right, and that's what we were talking about before, is the world is waking up to the way we're doing things. It's just simply not sustainable. It's not a path forward. And so we need to be thinking more wisely. We would love the opportunity to see restrictions and regulations loosened so that people have more opportunity to invest locally instead of investing in Wall Street. There need to be other ways for us to invest locally in a safe and responsible manner so that we can keep an eye on our money.
And there's something about it that's so personal that I would like us all to reflect on. I know many of us are tired of the telephone prompt, of the letters that go unanswered, of our complaints or challenges falling on deaf ears. And let's just give a little shout out to a company, a credit union like Vantage West. In our town, if you have a problem, you can call Bernie. Or you can call Stephanie. And the reason is they're accessible. They're at local First Mixers. They're meeting with businesses. They show up at things like the Earth Day celebration because they care about their community. So to me, from the consumer standpoint, I just had an incident with American Airlines. And when I finally got to talk to a person 57 minutes later, I said to her, I'm sure you're a nice person, but for me, an hour in my day, I could be doing a lot of good or, you know, relaxing or whatever, and it's so frustrating. And she was really nice, and she agreed with me. But I put something up on Facebook, which I rarely do, and what did everybody say? They said, just fly Southwest, which is not a locally owned airport, but they take the local, the consumer matters, the customer matters, you matter, we make it fun. And it just cracked me up how much, you know, interface I got on my personal page, because people are starving for this kind of connection. And community owned banks and locally owned credit unions will give you that type of connection.
Right. Yeah, they certainly will. It's about relationship. And one thing I do want to add is that what I see around the country is that we're slowly dividing into two camps. On the one hand, you have people that are prioritizing convenience with their spending. And on the other hand, you have people that are prioritizing relationships. And so therein, you know, you have half the country that is all about Amazon. They don't want to leave their house. They want to bank with a big bank. They want convenience, convenience, convenience. And on the other hand, you have a lot of people who want to be invested in their community. They want to know who they're doing business with, and they want to know where their money is. And so of those two camps, what's been very interesting is that everybody predicted that Amazon would continue to grow, but they also predicted that the local independent businesses would all fail. But what's happening is the big boxes in the middle are the ones who are failing first. And that's because they offer neither convenience nor relationship. And so the independent business, the community bank, is actually coming on stronger than anyone ever thought they would, because people actually care about being in relationship with people that they're doing business with. And so, you know, this is pretty interesting to watch how this plays out, because the articles are starting to come out that say, wow, you know, those independents are doing way better than anybody ever thought they would. Look at them. You know, what's that all about?
And you can see examples of that. Of course, I'm going to talk about Tucson and how areas like our downtown is thriving, not with any big box stores, okay, I might add.
Right.
Fourth
right.
Avenue is thriving. I've talked to you about this. There's a community in Arizona called Cottonwood, thriving, growing. People want to go there, and the store owner says hello to you, and they want to know your story, and they're supporting local goods. And, you know, the last time I went up there, I'm like hot on Cottonwood, Kimber, and I brought a friend back from, he lives in Anacortes, and I said, you have to go to Cottonwood with us. And I get there, and there's a street fair, and the first person I meet is someone from Local First. So you have definitely had your finger in that pie, too. It's booming.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, and we've done a lot of work in Cottonwood, and it's one of our favorite communities. They have a lot of successful entrepreneurs there, and they've really celebrated their uniqueness, and that sets them apart. You know, there's a lot of smaller towns who are just trying to land that, you know, that Applebee's, that Target, and they don't realize that that's just going to make them the same as everywhere else, whereas Cottonwood has decided to celebrate their unique assets, and it's really played out well for them.
And it's just, I mean, I'm telling you, for people that are listening around the country, you would never think that I would have said this, but if you come to Arizona and you're in Phoenix, take a trip to Cottonwood. It's delightful. And what I want to add to what you said, Kimber, very successful entrepreneurs are saying, I've had enough of the valley. I'm tired of the pace. I'm tired of the traffic, on and on. And they're moving there. So they know how to do business. And they're certainly banding together to put Cottonwood on the map. It's just delightful.
Yeah, I love to see it. It warms my heart to see that kind of a success.
Okay, next piece of the respect I have for the work of Local First is about your focus on and the success you've had in strengthening the capacity and the leadership of the Hispanic community. So share with us some of those initiatives. And, you know, I can just say this, it just makes sense, since this is not going to be in Arizona in a very short time. They will be the minority of the people who live here. So
The majority.
Yeah. I mean, the majority,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And it's changing. So talk to us about Fuerza and what Local First is doing to build the capacity of this population. It's another impressive entire movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we launched Fuerza Local, which is, for listeners who aren't familiar, it's F-U-E-R-Z-A, Fuerza Local. Local is just like in English. And it is a program and a six-month business accelerator that helps businesses both learn expertise around developing an excellent business where they can be competitive and compete with different markets. But secondly, it helps them with their financial literacy. So one of the challenges that we have here in Arizona is we have an underserved, underbanked population that relies in huge numbers on predatory lenders. So that's going to be your check cashing place, your title loan place. And they're paying ridiculous interest rates to thieves simply because nobody came along and showed them how to build a relationship with a community bank or a credit union. So Fuerza Local, again, it's a six-month business accelerator. People must apply and qualify to get in the program. They attend class on a regular basis for 6 months. And, you know, we bring in bilingual professionals to work with them, to teach them how to be better business people. We introduce them to resources that they may not know that they had. We help them get into a bank or a credit union, and we might evaluate whether or not they have the right kind of insurance, help them get their LLC, really bring them above board so that they can start competing with everybody else and competing for new customers in English and in Spanish. So the program, what sets it apart, in addition to all the curriculum that we have that's focused on growing enterprises, they have to pay into, it's called a money pool. And so some listeners might be familiar. Around the world, it's called a tanda or a cundina. It's a way, let's just say, I'll give you an example. If my car broke down and I needed $1,200 tomorrow, and if I don't get the $1,200 to fix my car, I'm going to lose my job.
Right.
So what I would do is call my friends and family together, and we would form a money pool. And there would be 12 family and friends who would agree to put $100 a month into a kitty, and then each person will get to take the entire kitty 1 month. So I would take the first position and get the $1,200, and then we would all continue to pay $100 a month into the kitty. And my, you know, my cousin would get the next month, and my aunt would get it the next month, or whoever signs up for when. And this is a way, traditionally, really for centuries, families have been able to save money without paying any interest. So it's very acculturated. Everybody's familiar. We put our students into pods of 12, and they go into a money pool. So their goal is to save $1,000 over 6 months. If they achieve that goal, we match them $1,000 upon their completion of the program. So then they have $2,000 that they can invest in their business. They have to develop a business plan and to actually show us how they're going to invest it. But the trickiest part of this is, and I guess it's the most clever part, is that we're actually taking their payments that they make every month into their $1,000 money pool, and we're reporting those payments to Experian. So we're helping them develop their first time ever credit score so that they can then have access to a credit union. We have two credit union partners that will then set up an account with them and offer them a $2,500 line of credit at fair market rates. So we've been able to take many of our graduates and get them out of their unfair loans and into a loan at like 6% interest with a credit union. So two-thirds of our students open up a checking account for the first time in their lives in the program. So it's a remarkable program, and we're seeing a huge success. We just had a graduation of our newest class of 60 people last week, and it is just tremendous to see their success and their growth. Our graduates have gone on to create 262 jobs so far.
Everybody wins. That's what keeps coming to me over and over. Everybody wins. As citizens of this state, as citizens of the United States, we all win because they become productive, fulfilled citizens. When we come back, Kimber, you have to tell the story about the cake lady, and then we'll talk about why Local First is garnering attention around the country and your impact on policy in terms of government purchasing and quite a bit more. Everybody, stay here with me. Lots more exciting, impactful things to share. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Green's world's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. Thanks for being a part of it, and thanks for joining us. And if you just joined us, the topic for our show this hour is loving your local community with the founder and director of Local First Arizona, Kimber Lanning. Local First Arizona consistently shares with businesses that unless the market fully understands the impact of any given organization, they'll have a hard time distinguishing between the true value of a local brand and that of an out-of-state competitor. Because of that insight, for over 15 years, leading businesses have trusted LFA to carry their message, celebrate their heritage, and build stronger and authentic connections with local businesses and organizations. Kimber, it is so great to have you with us. So,
thanks so much.
You are a great storyteller, in addition to being such a powerful public speaker. But part of what you weave into your presentations are great stories. And I love the one about the cake lady, and I never get tired of hearing it. And I'd love you to share that with us as an example of how your support changes a small mom and pop into a successful, viable business that employs other people.
Right, sure. So we had a woman sign up for the program, the Fuerza Local Business Accelerator Program, and she was working out of her home. She was an expert baker, and she found that she was really good at baking wedding cakes. And so the business had grown just through word of mouth. But where she found herself was that she had borrowed money at a predatory lender, a check cashing place, at 48% interest on the equipment that she had in her kitchen. And she had no online presence at all. She had been sold wrongly. She had been sold three kinds of insurance that she didn't even need. She didn't have her health permit or her business permit. And she kept getting ripped off, so she didn't have any contracts. So, for example, when she would bake a wedding cake, she might tell somebody over the phone it was $500. But when she'd go to deliver it, they would say, well, sorry, we only have $275. And she'd just feel sad and go home. And her husband kept saying, you know, that's never going to work. I don't know why you're wasting your time. And she came through our program, and she was our star student, and she worked really hard through the program. And I can remember telling her that she needed to ask for 50% down up front and get a contract. And she would say, oh, I can't ask for 50% down. And I said, yes, you can. You don't bake a thing until you have 50% down. And so she, excuse me, she has worked really hard to grow her company. Excuse me. And she developed a system in place where she got her online presence and she started marketing her business through Facebook, and she grew it. She has contracts now. She has her online presence. We helped her through her money pool. She earned a credit score. So now she has a checking account with a credit union. So we were able to get her a new line of credit with the credit union. So we wiped out all of her bad loans. We got her the right kind of insurance. And so today she is in a commercial kitchen and she has a contract with AJ's. And the last time I talked to her, she had six full-time employees, and she has really built herself a quality company called Cake Art Studio.
So how could people listening not like get either teared up or goosebumps or inspired by the change that something as powerful as Local First can bring about in communities? Okay, so speaking of impact, I want to get into really talking about why you're getting so much attention nationally. But before we do that, so that we make sure we have it, the time to cover it, let's talk about some of your new initiatives like the Localist Campaign. What is it and why is it important?
Right. So individuals can sign up to make a regular, a small contribution to the work that we're doing. So for as little as $10 a month, you can become a localist. And there are all kinds of benefits. So not only do you recognize that your charitable contribution is going to go toward creating these great programs and impacting all kinds of communities, but in addition, we're going to reward you with unique events that really help you connect to this place. So we're scheduling a localist-only event coming up called Timeless Phoenix, where you will get to explore all of the great history in Tovreya Castle. There's a castle here in Phoenix that nobody ever gets to go in, but for Timeless Phoenix you will get to, and you'll get to go to a museum nearby and the Stockyards, which is one of the earliest steakhouses in Phoenix, all on the same event. You also get opportunities to buy tickets to events in advance and all kinds of special benefits and deals for being a localist. So a lot of times I remind folks, it's sort of like, you know, on NPR, when you can sign up to be a sustaining member of NPR, you just know that your money is going for something you believe in to build a better community. And that's what being a localist is. It takes all of us to do this hard work. And as we continue to grow and expand the organization, we need people to step up and contribute small dollars to help us achieve our shared goal of building a better Arizona.
And what I love about it is not everybody's a business owner. So that there's a way to be the change, to step into a movement that's going to matter and make your community stronger if you're not a business owner. And I love that. And I see Phoenix, in terms of Local First, as the lab. You start things there, you test them, and then they get rolled out to the other communities like Tucson. And you have a wonderful leader down here with Mike Peel and his team. I mean, Kimber, everywhere I go, he's just being so well received, and it's wonderful to see that. But is that the plan for, you know, we still have, you can sign up at the Local First meeting to become a localist, but what does that face look like in our community in Tucson?
Yeah, absolutely. In Tucson, we are going to be doing the exact same thing, is developing unique, insightful events for folks. And anybody that joins in a different region, so whether you're in Flagstaff or Tucson or Phoenix or Globe, the money that you put into the organization stays in your community. So, for example, we can tell you at any given time how many business members and how many localist members we have in Tucson, and that revenue goes to support the three people that we have in the Tucson office as well as the programs that we develop there. So Mike Peel, who's our Southern Arizona director, has been working diligently around building programs around sustainability, and we're expanding the Fuerza Local program in partnership with the YWCA in Tucson. So our programs are definitely expanding in Tucson, and we know for sure that we keep a separate pot of funds coming into the program specifically to develop Tucson programs.
It's pretty impressive to see the excitement that's going on around here. And talk to me just for a minute about your foundation before we go on to, and to me, it's very obvious why people around the country are asking Kimber Lanning to come and tell them what are the ingredients for a successful model. But tell us about the foundation, because having a strong financial base and being able to know and have the confidence that your work can continue. Tell us about the foundation, why it's important.
So the Local First Arizona Foundation, you know, Local First Arizona is a network of locally owned businesses, and the foundation has three key pillars of work that we're doing that are not directly related to business, they're more related to communities. And so those programs all have long-term overarching goals that we will be together if we invest and grow these programs, build a stronger and healthier Arizona economy. Those three programs are our rural communities. So what you and I talked about, it's called the Arizona Rural Development Council, and all the small town rural development that we're doing. Excuse my cough, Gina.
Kimber, everybody I know is either sick or has been sick or is getting sick. It's happening all over the country. So I'm like, of course she's coughing. Who isn't? It's really okay.
And then our second initiative is the food work, the healthy food initiatives that you and I talked about. And then third is the Fuerza Local Business Accelerator Program, which has an overarching goal of building a stronger communities through entrepreneurship. So the foundation touches a lot more people than just the businesses. It's all very community-minded work.
And something so worth investing in, especially with nonprofits that have to rely on the almighty dollar day after day after day. So kudos for that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
What about for people that are listening, why is you are in demand? And that's not like an ego feeder for Kimber, but you are being asked to meet with local leaders and local firsts around the country. Why are you getting on the map now? What do they want to know? How are you helping them?
Well, I think that when we introduce new models of economic development, it's making a significant difference in all parts of the country. So we're sort of on the leading edge of a huge emergence that is occurring of people waking up to the fact that the old models are not working. And so they're starting to look around for what are the new models. And we're starting to showcase here in Arizona how thinking differently about the work that we're doing, thinking differently about the systems that are in place here in Arizona, about how we can approach age-old challenges with a new mindset and new ideas and achieve success. So building a more diverse and resilient economy that is more inclusive and allows opportunities for everyone to participate is really the new model. The old paradigm was bigger is better, extractive economy, invest in Wall Street. Some of us are going to win and some of us are going to lose. And we see exactly how that's playing out. We know that 80% of the net wealth gains that happened in the U.S. last year went to the top 1%. 80% went to the top 1%. And that's just a model for disaster.
It's just
our
awful.
Country does not
so
work
many levels,
when
yeah.
so much wealth is accumulated by just a few people. So we're demonstrating that if we diversify and we create models that allow all people to participate, that everybody is going to win. And so, you know, I am in a lot of different states having a lot of different conversations with economic developers and elected officials to get them to understand that the old paradigm does not work. It is dying and it is failing. And here's a new model that would be better suited for your community. And it works in all communities. It's not just in my community or your community. It's all communities.
And is a part of that, I know it's not been talked about as much lately with Local First, but in the early days, you really did impact local purchasing. And I mean from big government entities that, you know, they're the state government, they're the county government, they're the town government, and they want their communities to thrive. And yet bids go out and somebody from California gets it to be their office supplier or whatever. How have you been able to impact policy?
Yeah, so this one's critically important. And the way I'll describe it for folks so you can understand what I'm talking about, the state of Arizona has a $5 million contract with Staples for its office supplies. And Staples has brought the state of Arizona 65% part-time employees with no health care benefits. So we're spending $5 million a year supporting a company that brings us part-time employees with no health care benefits. Those employees end up on the state health care program, and that means that we as taxpayers are actually paying for the health care of Staples employees here in our state. So that cost is offsetting any perceived savings of paying a cheaper price on the products in the first place. So what if we instead awarded that contract to a company that has health care for their employees and it would reduce our burden on the health care system? So what we're doing is advocating for procurement dollars, the amount that cities, government, school districts, state spend on products and goods and services both, if they could evaluate the true cost of that contract. So really thinking about the value and benefit it brings to Arizona is so much wiser in the long run than just chasing the cheap dollars and the cheapest price. Because if we're not thinking about the true cost and we think it's cheaper, it's actually costing us a fortune in the long run.
And when you think about, you know, supply and demand and ease of purchase, when you have a company that's state-based like WIST, they can really meet your needs no matter how big or how small your corporation is. It's not like there's going to be a delay. They'll deliver. You can call somebody. They'll come over to make things happen. So just look locally, and probably the solution for your business needs is there. It's huge.
Right. So WIST is a third-generation Arizona company. They do office supplies, and they do an exceptional job. And if anybody out there is a local First member, you get 10% off, and you get free delivery. If you don't, they don't deliver to homes. They don't sell to the public. But for businesses, they're exceptional.
So we have to do, like, the crystal ball question. But before we go on to that, which I want to know what you see in 5 years for Local First and on, but I believe that climate change is the biggest threat that our civilization has ever faced. It's rearing its ugly head on so many fronts, already impacting our lives. How does Local First incorporate climate reality into their message, and how will you going forward? I know that you're acknowledging the critical role, the marginalized communities that get hurt first, what's happening already.
You know, it's woven into everything that we do. In building healthier food systems, we are reducing our reliance on fossil fuels and reducing our carbon footprint. The other program that we're launching is called Source AZ, and that's helping our anchor institutions and large employers source more locally. And that's going to reduce their carbon footprint. I mean, people don't think about this, but ASU, for example, from buying from Staples, they get 6 18-week over the country. What if they could just source that right here locally, the same products? It would just reduce their carbon footprint significantly.
ASU, Michael Crow, is a global leader in sustainability. And I would think that if someone gets to him about this, he can't address everything, but how important it is and what an impact such a large institution can make in terms of building our local economy. So last word, and you have about a minute, call to action for our listeners. Not everybody who listens to Mrs. Green's World is in Arizona. Thousands are around. What would you say to the consumer listening? What's their first step?
The first step is to really be accountable for the money that you're spending and to think about the end result. So if you could just shift 10% of your spending from a national to a local company, it would create hundreds of new jobs. So for example, in a town the size of Tucson, if everyone there linked arms and just shifted 10% of their spending, it would create $130 million new dollars recirculating right there in Tucson and 1,600 brand new jobs. So recognizing that just small shifts in your behavior can make a huge, huge impact locally. And then finally, become a localist. Get attached to us. Follow us on social media. utilize our directory to find local businesses. It's not as hard as you think. So check in and let us know if we can help you connect to local businesses, and just start thinking more broadly about your actions and how it's impacting the environment and the economy all around you.
And the positive impact will come back to you 100-fold. Kimber Lanning, thanks for being a part of my world, for all you do. Our next February 15th show, Christy Sirocco from Habastore, another great local wonder here. And on the 20th, Dr. Korba, Ocean First Institute. Everybody, thank you. Make it a great green week.